Come on up. Come on up, brother. Come on up. No sense in delaying. So we got something special this morning. We already had something special. I mean, praise time and giving, you know, you guys sound beautiful singing and being excited about Jesus. It's like you love him or something, yeah? So we do have something special this morning, and if you haven't, I mean, I'm sure you know by now, our kids are in here with us. We believe this is a special service. Why? Because we want to welcome to the stage our brother Valu. Morning, Valu. Do you want to sit?
Hallelujah.
What?
Do you want to sit?
If I need one, I'll grab one.
Okay. All right. So we have something special. Valu gets the gold star for traveling the furthest for service today. Flew halfway around the world to be here with us today. So we're going to share, and whenever it comes to India, there's kind of a let's see what happens kind of thing. So we have a kind of a rough outline we're going to do, but yet we'll see what God does, right? And we want to share that just before I go any further. I just want to say this, okay? Given the sensitivity of the persecution that India is facing, we're going to be honest with you all here. So you all are here in person, so good for you. If we feel that there's something that should not be live streamed, we will give our sound techs the cue, and we're just going to cut the audio out for a minute there, and we apologize, but don't apologize for that, because we have to consider that for we don't want to incur any more persecution than they already have. So that's that. They do monitor those kind of things.
Even the government right now is very anti-Christian. So Christians are giving up their lives every day in India through the government's blessing. So
last 8 years.
Yeah.
What?
Last 8 years.
The last 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once the government changed over.
Yeah. So Rick and I are going to be up here, and you want to stand, you can sit, whatever you want to do. We'll do that. All right. Just real briefly, you know, I wanted to share about, you know, we wanted to share a story, and maybe you could share in like 2 minutes your story.
2 minutes.
Well,
probably what's going to happen, Valu's going to share his side of the story, and I'll share my side of the story, and they might sound different, but like the Gospels, are just different perspectives.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do this because, you know, when we talk about mission work, and I think it's important, we'll talk about the philosophy of why we support a national missionary, but how God, you know, this is not something, when we talk about, how many of you heard us talk about India and Valu and Goyi Missions? Oh, good. You actually pay attention. That's great. That's good to know. How many of you have met Valu before? How many of you have not met Valu before? All right, so you have to meet all these people afterwards, okay?
Yeah.
And know their names, all right? And then we'll do it, and we'll do it again second service. Oh, see, he's got his thing on. Good. So, you know, we want to talk about why, and, you know, this is not some, like, blind support where we're just throwing money at an organization. There's a connection here. This is, as God often does, it is rooted in story and rooted in relationship. And so we want to share that part because we recognize that, you know, a lot of you don't know that story, you know. So we want to share that, but then also share, you know, let Valu preach and share what's happening over in India. So that's kind of that there. So just kind of, there's a few pictures there, you know. So these guys have been together for a long time, and that's the earliest picture that I could get. Digitally, I couldn't find the other one. I'm sure you guys have them, but, you know, this goes back a long ways. But so in 2012 and then in 2019, that's there. And so that's, you know, God has really knit these two guys together and their families, and we'll talk about how that's extended now into the next generation of leaders, both here and in Goyi Missions in India. But that's where we are. So then whenever you want to go to that other slideshow, you let me know and I'll switch it over.
Okay?
So who wants to go first? Rock, paper, scissors?
Let me just set the stage a little bit. Why are you laughing, Jeremy?
Salt and pepper?
Salt and pepper. That's what Valu... When we stand up in India to preach, he always says, "This is salt and I am pepper." So, just a little bit of a background, and I'm not going to tell you my whole life story. Everybody say, "Thank God." But when I was small, my parents used to read to us from E. Stanley Jones, and I used to keep a scrapbook of India and all of India wildlife, and I always had a love for India for some reason. And then when God called me, touched me, I said I was going to be a medical missionary because I'd never be a preacher. And so I went into pre-med, and I was going to be a medical missionary in India. And that's when I met Nancy. She was going to be a nurse, and we were going to go to India and be a medical team, you know, in the gospel, going from village to village. And, anyway, God had different plans for that, and we never made it that way. But God called us to start a church. And always I had this burden for India, you know. And when I was in seminary, they taught us that the whole idea of sending white missionaries around the world is ridiculous. Each white missionary costs like 20 times more than it does to support a native, and a national is actually able to speak the language and reach their own people far better than a foreigner can. So I accepted that mission philosophy, and as a church, we always said, Lord, send us the nationals that we need to support that can reach, and I always had that burden for India. So anyway, fast forward, 1985, this church went through a major crisis. We had 150 people in three services because we met in the lobby now, and we started a Christian school. The whole church imploded, and we ended up with 50 people, including children, right? I was broken. I was going to quit the ministry, and I got an invitation to a conference that was in New Jersey. It was a free meal, and Nancy was working to support us, so I went to New Jersey for this conference, right? And I'm sitting there it was a round table, right? And this little Indian guy comes up, and he says, hello. Candy? And he has a little piece of candy. And I'm like, I don't take candy from strangers, right? And then he says, and he has it, Bruce has this notebook full of pictures. And he says, you know, so he was going to tell you that story. But just to cut to the chase, we talked there. I said, why don't you come home with me? He said, okay. So drove home. He stayed. How long did you stay? A month?
About two months.
And because what I was telling him yesterday, which he already knew, after that implosion of the church, I felt very betrayed, broken. I didn't trust anybody. Steve McSparren came to me one time during that period, and he said, I think God told me to be your friend. And I said, I don't need any friends. I don't want any friends, right? So that's where I was, you know, mentally and emotionally. So I didn't know if I could trust this guy or not. He came out of the blue. But if you know me, you know, if I believe God told me something, I'm going to do it. And I felt God whispered to my heart, get to know this guy. He's your divine appointment. So brought him home to test him to see if he was genuine and real. And he's the real thing. I can guarantee you that. All right. That's my story.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I feel the presence of the Lord here. And I'm thankful to the choir and the singers and the musician. It was really tremendous, and feeling the presence of the Lord. And I'm so happy to be here. I've been here for many years, maybe 20, 30 times here. Almost every year I come one or two times, but last 3 years I couldn't come because of the COVID. But I'm so excited to come and see you all. And it's my privilege. It's my opportunity that God has given. I hope you understand English because you speak American, you know. So
they got that one.
So you understand him okay so far? You understand him? All right, good.
Yeah.
So I can translate.
Yeah.
they're used to it because I talk fast, so that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. India இருந்து நான் வந்திருக்கிறேன். உங்களுக்கு சுவிசேஷத்தை சொல்ல போகிறேன். அதை இப்பொழுது இவர் translate பண்ண போகிறார். I come from India.
Rick's the best. Good news. He said, praise the Lord, Rick's the best.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, when we singing that I really had the name, you know, this is the name of Jesus. That really a big change that brought in my life. You know, when I have, you have printed the brochure there?
Yes. Yeah, so there's a handout out there for you.
That's
you guys.
I don't want to take long time say about that. You can read about that. To cut short, my family, I had my brother and myself, and my father and mother lived there. And suddenly something hit. My father was murdered by my relatives. They took our possession, all our properties, and my mother was also. They broke her legs. So we didn't know where to go, and because they are going to kill us too. But because of fear, we were going here and there. We shouted so many gods, you know, because we worshipped so many gods. We believed in so many gods. So we went there and here and there, and no one could help. Then we found nobody is showing love, and there's no future. And it seems to be there's no need to live in this world. So my brother and me thought we can maybe come suicide and go, because there's nothing here. What we are going to do? No, nobody is going to love. But that time only we got a small gospel text called, He Wants to Become Your Friend. He Wants to Become Your Friend. But when I read, it was really something like a joke. You know, who wants you to be a friend? You don't have anything. You don't have money. You don't have anything. And who wants you to be a friend? You know, people like to have, to make a friendship with people that have a lot of money on high education, something like that. But here it says, someone wants to love you. Then he puts, it was written just like for us. If you are going through a lot of problem, you lost your loved ones and you think there's no one here to help you, care for you, and there's one good news, someone wants to love you. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. When we read the name of Jesus, something happened inside. You know, we felt something inside. That time only our countenance, our face became very, very bright, because before that we were in fear and they would kill us, something like that. But after just read the word Jesus, it changed in our life. From that day onwards, we wanted to know about Jesus, and we tried to learn from about Bible and other things from other pastors. But even before that, you know, the Lord put us in our heart to go and tell him about. We didn't know about mission, but even as soon as we accept the Lord Jesus, but God wants to tell our people what we experienced. So we started going and telling people, and we know about baptism and other things. Then even within a month, about 39 young people came to the Lord. We led them to baptism. So it grew up like that. Then I went to my engineering college. Then I finished, but God wants me to go and preach the gospel. So I went to the Bible college and finished. Then we started. Then God gave us a vision, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So Matthew 28:18-20, God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize them in the name of the Father and Son of the Son, Jesus Christ. And on, teach them to also whatsoever taught you, like that, you know. So we want to go all over the world, you know. And it was a great desire, and it was our vision. And we felt that we should go all over the world as much as possible. But in the thing is, we didn't have money to go nearby town. But you want to go to all over the world. But it's God, you know. God gave you a vision, it will done. You know, you cannot do by yourself. You can have money, you can have everything, but you cannot do. But you don't have anything, but have Jesus, you can do everything. So people, a lot of pastors also criticize us. Oh, you are going to all over the world? You don't have anybody? You are not from a Christian family? You don't have any Christian background? You don't have anybody else? Then how you are going to all over the world? I tell him, I have Jesus. You know, we can go anywhere. Because we had a great faith on Jesus, because we believed in so many gods, in Hindu gods. We did a lot of things, but we didn't receive anything. But when we accept the Lord, it changed our life. It had a hope. Before that, we didn't have any hope, because the Hindus believed that you had to do a lot of good things to become next incarnation. Seven times you had to go through life cycle before you go to heaven or hell. But you don't know whether you're going to hell or heaven. But here, God wants to take you to heaven. Hallelujah. When we accept the Lord, what a loving God. And we were going through a lot of, you know, when I was there, you know, in our village, we used to walk on the fire, and we used to take the hot fire pot on the hand and go around. And they do a lot of things to, you know, there's torture their body to find God and please God. But here, Jesus took all of his sufferings and he gave us freedom. Hallelujah. When we read the word, he's a freedom. He's a freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's a freedom. So God gave us the freedom, and we moved around. We started the Go Ye mission, go into all the world. And God started, we didn't have money, but we prayed. God told us to send our two native missionaries to our own people. And we didn't have money for ourselves, but how we are going to support them. But you know, it was miraculously God supplied. Then we sent another two, like that. Then we said, maybe every time we were sending, maybe around 200 or 300 people, we were able to support and start churches, and it was growing all over in our state. Then that time, I felt that we need some fellowship with some group of people that really love the Lord and that can pray for us. That time only, I had a vision to go to come to America, but I don't know anybody else, you know. But I know God is there, you know. God always makes a place. In this city, I have a people. That's what God told. In this city, I have a people for you. But I don't know. But I came by faith. But I don't know how to go. Then first time I went to the visa, then the consulate asked me, where are you going? I told him, I'm going to America. So do you know anybody? No, I don't know anybody. Then you cannot go. You don't have anybody to sponsor. You don't have any invitation. How you're going? It broke my heart. Then I went and prayed, Lord, what should I do? Then somehow I saw the magazine. There was a Wisconsin. There was a conference, international conference. So I asked them, can you send me an invitation? They said, yes, we are. They sent the invitation. Then I took the invitation and went to the visa, the consulate general. Then he saw, how long you are going to stay? 1 month. Okay. So they gave me. Then I came to New York. I bought the ticket. Then I wanted to go to Wisconsin. But they said, it is far away from New York. And you need, I don't know, $150 or $200 to buy the ticket. But I was having only $50. Then I cannot go, I cannot multiply that. I was praying and my heart was broken. So far I came, but I couldn't see anything. How the Lord is going to lead me, Sometimes God leads in a way that you don't know, You think some way, but God is leading some other way. Then that time only suddenly I had a thought that sometimes before there was a magazine from New York, Banner. This Reverend Ware Taylor, he put a magazine out, and I got the magazine, and he was writing, the ministry needs your help, send your support. So he put the address there. Then I had a $20 given by one of the missionary lady when I was translated, and I was having that money because I don't know what to do with the $20. Then I thought I can send this money to him. Then I sent the money. As soon as he received, he sent me a letter. I never expected money from India, but when you come to America, you can stay with me. So that was really impossible at that time. I thought I will be coming, but okay. But when I was there in New York airport, I remember then I had a vision that his phone number was in front of me. Like they called, hello. Then he said, who's this? Is Ware Taylor from Pinecrest? I told him, I'm Velu. Oh, you're here. Where are you? I'm in the airport. He said, oh, I will come and pick you. Then he took me there, and he was having meeting in the. He had a Bible college there, and we went around there. Then suddenly in New Jersey there was a conference. So Bob Lemon and what's his name?
John? Buddy Harrison.
Buddy Harrison and everything. So he took me there to conference, and I was sitting. There was another man was sitting nearby me, handsome man,
I didn't hear what he said. What did he say?
Handsome man.
Handsome man.
Handsome man.
I'm not sure who he was talking about.
Yeah.
I was 33, so I guess I was.
Yeah, I
a
showed
man.
You pictures. Then suddenly I felt that I should talk to him. Then. It's good to always give some candy to introduce yourself, So I just handed over, and he was looking around me. What is this inside? When we talked to them, and he felt that he should take me to home, but I don't know how Nancy would reply to when he came there.
Nancy was pregnant with Natalie.
Yeah.
Very
so
pregnant.
He brought new man here.
And we had three little kids.
But she was so loving sister, and she was having baby at the time, Natalie's. Yeah. So
yeah, when I brought him home, we're driving. This is all dirt roads up here at that time. And he looks around, because he thought, God said, in the city I have people. So he thought he'd have somebody from the city. I'm driving up here in these dirt roads, and he's there, where's all the people? And I pulled into our house, which was a rustic log house, and he's there.
Yeah. Ooh. See, that was, when I wanted to go to Wisconsin for a conference, I couldn't go there. But God led me to see another God's man. But he led me to Pastor Rick. See, that's the way of the Lord. When you obey what God leads you, sometimes you may not know. It's like a dark. You go, just walk into that, but God will put a light here and there. And finally, you come to the final place there. So God led me in different ways, but right person. And
that's a great illustration of how God leads us. I always say God can't steer a parked car. You got to move, and then God will lead you as you're driving along.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. So I am glad that I did that step of faith. Okay, so I go for it. So this is what, you know, how I came to fellowship with Pastor Rick and church. So for the last, I think 1986 I came. Then afterwards, we used to come, and Pastor Rick and Nancy came a few times, and Pastor Cliff and other people, all they were coming and coming and coming.
Let me just throw out there. Yeah. He went back, and then the next summer he brought his older brother, Elan, and they stayed the whole summer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, and then 2 years later, Nancy and I went over for a month. Well, it was not quite a month.
Yeah.
Three weeks. Yeah. And that was, what, 89? Yeah.
So you all been back and forth a number of times. Every other year, usually, until COVID, it was kind of
3-4 times here you met, and then after you came last 2019 you came.
Yeah. We've been over there many times.
Yeah,
probably 8, 9, 10. So, I should count them up sometime.
Yeah, what I was saying is, you know, when God gives you some vision, you just go, then God will take you through, and it will be really a blessing. So, Pastor Rick and the church is a blessing to us and our ministry because of their support, and we are able to reach a lot of souls. And we are around the last nearly 50 years, more than 600 churches we established, and hundreds of pastors we supported, and more than 800 children in different places they were supported by Children's Home, but not, we are not having Children's Home anymore. But yeah, this is an old, just that's what we used to have.
That's Elan, that's his older brother there on the on your right.
Yeah, when we started, we used to have a small meetings in our villages. Then afterwards, you know, we found The Ocean of Mercy is a movie that was produced in India that was bought by one of the organizations here. So Pastor Rick bought me that that movie and the projector. So we took all over the more than 3,000 villages, I think, in 6-7 years we showed the movie, and the 600 churches and some more than that, I'm not sure exactly, but established, and a lot of people got saved. And thanks for the outreach program, and also every month they used to support us and our family and the whatever whenever we meet to the ministry. And it's not like an organization, but it's like a family of God. And I thankful for Pastor Rick and all of you, and in the last 36 years, yeah, they're supporting this ministry. Well, this is kind of meetings we go.
Back at that time in the 80s, late 80s and early 90s, we'd take this movie, Oceans of Mercy, all to all the back villages. At that time, we had to take a generator to some of the villages, but we put up a big sheet and we'd show this movie, and it was a movie of Jesus' life.
Yeah.
And the people had never seen a movie like that. I mean, now they've all got internet and everything, but at that time, and they would shout and yell and throw stuff at the screen when they were killing Jesus, you know. And then you know, I mean, they were crying, and then you'd get up and give the altar call, and they would just come forward. They'd want Bibles, they'd want to know Jesus, and they started these churches. So they've got 600 churches now.
Yeah, that was very easy then to preach the people, because the Hindus don't believe that God can die. You know, it's very hard to explain to them. But when they see the movie, people killed him, but he rose again. They said he's a God. You know, so it was easy, and it was easy for us to reach the people and started a church. So that was a good tool, and thank God for Pastor Rick.
They might like this story. Well, our first time there, Nancy pretty much stayed with Esther, his wife, in their house there in Nagercoil. And it was kind of a shock, because there was people everywhere. The noise was unbelievable. And the only toilet in your house was a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And so Valu says, we're going to go out to the villages on my Royal Enfield. Hit a 250 motorcycle. So I'm on the back there, and we're riding through there. And I'm looking, and there was, you know, the ox pulled the carts, right? Well, they got these big, long horns. And he's flying by there, and there's a horn, like, right there. And I'm like, whoa, look at that, you know. And then we're out there in the middle of the night, and the battery died on his Royal Enfield. He couldn't get it started. And he says, oh, no problem. And he goes and knocks on the door, and then he comes out with D battery?
Yes, no battery.
A D battery. And he wired it up, kicked it, and off we went again into the dark with our Royal Enfield motorcycle. It was pretty crazy. Was that story worth the time or not? I don't know. But I mean, we were driving along, and these ox carts were pulling hay, and the hay was, you know, 20, 30 feet up. Yeah. And there's somebody sitting on top there, and they're swaying like this, you know, and we're buzzing by them, and I'm like, well, where'd they fall, you know? It was pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, it happens only in India.
Yeah, that's what I say, only in India, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah, this our motto is reach the soul, you know. Reach on like that. Go and reach the people, you know. So unless we go and teach the people, see, I accept the Lord, then if I didn't, if my brother and me didn't go to other places to preach about Christ, nobody is going to be saved. So God called each and every one of us not to get saved, but to preach the gospel. So it's an opportunity to go to other places also. We traveled all over our inner country and preached, but God put us to go to other countries too. In Sri Lanka, 2 or 3 years back, we ordained about 24 pastors there, and they're having some ministry there. Now in the last 3-4 months before Myanmar, there's a lot of persecution because of that dictatorship. A lot of people have been killed. Now we have an opportunity to preach the gospel. So God is opening.
Let me interject there.
Pardon?
Persecution. Let me interject about persecution a little bit. All right?
Okay, yeah.
Later on, after that first trip, went there to, and I come into Nagarkoil, and here's my picture pasted on all the walls everywhere throughout this town. I mean, it's a town, but it's 1 million people, right? Yeah. My picture's pasted everywhere. I mean, we had that poster out there for years. I don't know. I think they took it down when you took over. Anyway, so we're sitting in this little restaurant, you know, with Elan. Elan died in 2009. He had a massive heart attack and died. It was heartbreaking. Yeah. Anyway, Elan and Valu and I and their driver were sitting there at this diner, and we saw all these these people over there, and they were like, you know, and they were pointing at me, and Elan says, I think we better go. They recognize him from the pictures. And it was the RSS. I don't know. That's a communist Hindu party,
yeah,
right?
Radical people.
Radicals, yeah. So they wanted to, I don't know what they wanted to do, but we took off, and then we're in the car driving, and then here comes this dump truck full of these people in the back shouting and yelling and chasing us. But our driver lost them, so yeah, it was a lot of fun. But anyway, I mean,
India?
Was before the persecution really took off. Huh?
Who wants to go to India? Who wants to go to India now? Sign me up.
Oh, let's all go to India. Persecution now is much worse than it was at that time.
In those days we have freedom. We go in the morning and preach in the megaphones all around, street preaching, and hand over tracks to bus station, train station. Now it's all stopped. We had to go house to house and try to preach the gospel in like a secret way. Like, but people are getting saved through, even though there were small activities like that, you know. They see the people when they except Jesus, when there's children. You know, mostly we are concentrating on children too, because they believe when you say about Jesus, and they believe in Jesus. You know, I was sharing with Pastor Rick, one of the small girl, about maybe 10, 12 years, I think, she told a story. We didn't have food in our house yesterday, and I was told in the when we studied in the tuition center, someone was teaching me about Jesus. When you have need, you can ask Jesus; He will provide you. So I knelt down and prayed, Lord, give us the food today. Then after some time, some nearby people that were celebrating some party, they brought some food to us. So she was so happy. Jesus answered my prayer. So the children easily believe, they put their faith on Jesus. So that's why our heart moving, because when I was 13, my father died. So I went through a lot of problems, you know, like hunger and depression, and neglected people like that. So I wanted to help the people, that kind of people. So when you help the children, you know, in the future they will be a good missionaries. And a lot of children that were in our children's home, they are a lot of people in the clerks and a lot of trades, and some people are nurses, some drivers, so many people in their jobs. So it's all because of your prayers and support, and it's all because he obeyed God and I obeyed God.
As far as the children's home goes, when we went there in 89, Nancy and I, that was our first time there, but we didn't really understand anything about India. But we came to see that Valu and Esther and their children, they would take in, people would leave babies at their door because they're so poor, they didn't have the money to support their children, and so they would leave them. And they knew that Valu was a Christian, and Christians have compassion and would take care of their child. And so they would leave them there. And so Valu had children living in his home, and we went there in 89. And so having these kids there, that's when he started the what we called the orphanage for many years. Now, I think it was 2019. Well, we went there in 2019. The orphanage was already closed.
Yeah.
So sometime between 2012 and 2019, persecution from the government closed all Christian orphanages. They just closed them down. They said, this is not right. We don't want Christian money coming into our country. And so they closed all those orphanages.
And we were supporting the orphanage.
We were supporting the orphanage for many years.
In addition to what we were supporting Valu as a thing. You want to talk about that real briefly?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Oh, I asked you if you wanted to. But so and after 86 or 87, we began to support Valu and Nilan and Goyi Missions as a church. We would sponsor and send them money. And that amount's varied over the years, but it was to support his family.
Yep.
It was to you know, that he wouldn't have to work, that we would supply for him. Another church would do that. Then around 89 or later on, and then in 2011, we came back. You guys had gone over for Vinny's wedding, I think.
Yeah.
And that's when you came back and said we need to support the orphanage at $2,400 a month or whatever that was.
Yeah.
So we committed to that in 2012.
We saw the huge need there in 2011.
Right.
I mean, we've been supporting them all that time.
Right.
But in 2011, flying back, I just felt God spoke to me and said, you need to really step out in faith and promise to support that orphanage with $2,400 a month.
So we committed to that, and the church was not in great financial shape at that point either. That was a big step of faith for us to not only meet the needs here, but then to go above and beyond and extending. So we committed to the orphanage and gave them for all those years, and then in 2019 we went back to see what was happening and how that expanded and had that, how they changed that mission work then from the orphanage because of the government shutdown, what God did there, which is, I think.
Yeah, even the government shut down, but God opens a new way. Now we have more children in 14 places, around 420 children. They are coming to the night school, and where we teach them about Jesus along with their school subjects, you know. So
you can see, I mean, the orphanage had usually between 10 and 20 kids at a time. You can see what they're reaching now multiple times in all the different locations through the use of the funds and through what.
And they're able to use a loophole in the government regulations by calling them tuition centers. Yeah. So they're actually tutoring kids after school in their classroom studies, but then giving them a meal, which is often the best meal they're going to get that day.
The
only meal.
We have more people that we need to support, but now, right now, we have only 120 children that are supporting with the money. But still, we need a lot of people are coming, but we are unable to provide a lot of things. So pray that God opens doors for them too.
And we're still committed to that $2,400 a month.
It
doesn't go to the orphanage. It goes to the tuition centers, which is supplying the needs for these kids in the cities and in all the villages.
Yeah, we spend about 80 cents per child every day. Yeah.
80 cents per child. Is that what you said? Yeah. 80 cents per child. Yeah. Per day, per week? What is that?
Oh, no, day.
Per day. 80 cents per child per day.
Yeah. So we give some milk.
Who's got 80 cents in their pocket right now?
We'll give some milk, something when they come. Then we provide some rice cakes or some other things. Yeah. So.
And then what's happening is that the kids hear about the kids hear about this and they come, and then the parents are thankful that the kids are being given this, and now they're starting churches in those areas with those parents because they're
Because the parents see that they are learning good things, you know, there are no bad habits. They, you know, we teach them about all good things about to obey parents and study well, don't do this like this. So the parents are very happy because when you see other children, they go and abuse bad words and something like that. But here, they are trained in a good way, so the parents, they wanted to come. So slowly our pastors and missionaries, they go and reach them, lead them to Christ, you know.
But what really has affected me from day one, and even when Nancy and I went over there, this is not a strategy to reach lost people. This is compassion out of this man's heart for children who are abandoned and unfortunate. And all that has flowed out of that love and compassion in his heart. That's why this is not a strategy. This is just compassion. And then if you take steps to fulfill that compassion, next thing you know, you're reaching people for Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
And then
yeah,
churches start and Jesus is glorified.
Yeah, I was in need and I was looking for someone to help me, to feed me, take care of me, show love. I couldn't find until I accept Jesus, you know. So I wanted to return that to other people.
Let's talk a little bit about the transition to the next generation. I mean, I've turned, transitioned over to Cliff and Jen there. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hand clap. Appropriate. All right. There we go.
Can you get a YouTube song? Then I can.
And Baloo and I have grown up, you know, since our 20s. I mean, we've late 20s, with 30s. Yeah. And now Baloo's nephew, Vijay, is transitioning. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Valu is a little bit more tight-fisted than I am when it comes to the ministry, right? He doesn't believe in being retired. He called me, "What'd you call me, retard?" But anyway, Vijay is really doing the bulk of the ministry there, which is his nephew, Elan's son. And that's another whole story.
There we go.
You have him? There's Vijay. There's Vijay and Cliff. So we went over there in 2012 to kind of help Cliff and Jen and the whole church management team get acquainted with Vijay and try to start making this transition over to the next generation of leadership in the church and continue this relationship. I wanted to see if their hearts could knit like mine and Valu's. You can't make things like that happen, but if it's God, then it's God, and if it's not, it's not.
And I certainly felt that happen. I mean, Jenny makes friends anywhere, but I don't. Jenny makes friends anywhere.
Can you put Cliff in my speaker? I can't hear him.
Really? Yeah. So, you know, I'm hesitant when it comes to people.
There's a
natural. And I had met Vijay in 2012 when I was there, but, you know, it was kind of. But in 2019, when we went back. I mean, it was almost instantaneous where God had knit our hearts together and just developed a real friendship, a true brotherhood. You know, it's not some distant. Yeah, okay, that's not. You know, we chat regularly. You know, thanks to the wonders of modern technology. You know, we can chat all the time and check in and see how we're doing, encourage one another, and also support one another. You know, personally and in the ministry. So I do believe God has done that. That it is not just in the same way that there's this brotherhood connection here that Vijay and Jenny and I are connecting that with Vijay. So we're excited about what God's going to do next. You know, it was really, really amazing to watch the parallels between, you know, BMCC and Go You Missions, as Rick and Valu have been obedient and passing it on, just following the biblical model. You know, as Paul trained and released and empowered the next generation, that these guys have done that and seeing what God does. That we're confident it's going to continue well into the future. You know, so, and I just wanted to say, you know, it's been on my desire in my heart for the last 2 years to go back to India. And COVID and all those other things kind of put the wrench in those plans. And then, I was making plans to go. You heard me talk about it, to actually be there right around now. And then Valu said he's coming. So, but I think that's the goal is to go back next year and take a group. And we know there's persecution. And we know we don't want to draw attention.
You know, you had a problem in the Chennai airport.
We almost didn't get in through. Almost didn't get through the airport when we went in 2019. They almost didn't let us in.
Yeah, they didn't want to send you inside.
Yeah, but then Valu, you know, wrangled and.
It took us into the little side office.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Yeah, yeah. Three Americans showed up, all looking to see the same guy. It was kind of questionable, I guess. But
I think it was Ted. I think yeah. Ted brought the suspicion. Yeah,
yeah. He's kind of sketchy.
He just looks like a minister.
Yeah.
Why don't you stand up, Ted, so everybody can see you. So,
there's Ted.
What do you think?
there's,
now we have a...
Wearing a red shirt. The only guy wearing a red shirt there.
Yeah, right now, so. It was the red shirt. Yeah. Yeah, they really interrogated us for quite a while.
Because of the... See, government doesn't allow the small group of people that worship in their houses like that. So we started Goyi Mission Diocese, you know. So the everybody, you know, because government says, government law, even before, church should be under a diocese. So otherwise it's not considered as a church. And also the pastors should have some kind of degree, 2 years or 3 years degree. So we have Bible school, we teach them, and we have pastors conferences. So the whole year is full of activities, you know, training them and helping them and reaching out new people. And we have the help some poor people also in the trade, just like training some machines, you know, sewing machines and something. And so we like to help the people in the way they can understand God's love, you know. So there are so many opportunities. We have some few medical camps with our some funds. So we try to do in a regular way so that nowadays we cannot go direct. So we had to use other ways so that we can show the people. Then afterwards our pastors can go and meet them. Yeah. So please pray, especially for our country, that we will have freedom from next year, because this HDS, we have been going through a lot of troubles, you know. They damaged, they demolished a lot of churches, killed a lot of Christians, and so they did a lot of bad things. And still it's doing, because the government is supporting them. Even if we go and complain, they don't do anything, they will put a case against us. So nobody is going to there, you know.
Let
so
me interject there. Maybe we want to cut the audio on this here. Antichrist around the world, even here in the United States of America, which I know has offended some people, but that's still what I believe the Bible teaches.
So the Lord has opened a door to go to Sri Lanka, where we started the ministry, and now in Myanmar, which is another country. So please pray that yes, we have going into all the world. We like to go yes, as much as possible when the Lord is opening door.
Right. So, yeah. So let me get a hold of you here, Valu. I love this guy. he likes to tell the story. I'm not sure when it was, but my brother-in-law went with me to the JFK to drop him off to go back home. And Valu always says that my brother-in-law said to him, why don't you tell him what he said?
Yeah, Doug, you know.
He said, Doug, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
When we went to the airport, Rick took me there. Then that time he went somewhere, I think. Then he told me, I don't know what happens. My pastor is a very tough man. He never cries and he never had any something like, you know, but... when he sees you, he changed a lot, you know. He cried when you left.
So Valu makes me cry, believe it or not. Right?
So Brother Kanki.
Well, so does Jen when she leaves worship. So anyway, you know, why do we do this? Well, you know, just you need to understand that Jesus said, go in all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
You know, and that will happen until the very end.
Yes.
And so every person has to have the opportunity before Jesus can return.
Yes.
And God has given us this divine appointment and opportunity to be linked up with Go Ye Missions in India for 36 years now.
Yes.
And our church supports them $2,400 every month we pay to keep these tuition centers going. And we have asked over the years for you guys to say, yes, I want to be a part of that. I absolutely want to give. And just to make a commitment between you and the Lord, I'm going to give that much every month to support this outreach. And then as a church, from our tithe of the tithe, we support Valu and VJ and for them, for their personal salary and their personal well-being. Okay, so as you tithe, you know the tithe of that tithe goes to support them and our whole mission program. So anyway, The bottom line is, you know, besides that, and this is not a commercial, what we're going to do now is just transition into the invitation, right? It's time, right? 9:49, right? You know, and like Cliff always says, you know, if you're here today, which I always wonder, well, you are here today, right? All right. It was supposed to be a joke, but I shouldn't have joked about it. But he says that because I always said it, and I don't know how many times people would come up to me and call me out on it. Rick, don't say if you're here today, because we're obviously here today.
You got to finish the sentence. If you're here today and you feel that,
yeah,
that's so.
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, all right. Anyway, you know,
my delivery's better.
We go to the ends of the earth to help people come to know, love, and serve Jesus.
Yes,
and you're here today because Jesus Christ brought you here.
Amen.
You have an appointment with him, no different than the appointment that God arranged between me and Valu back in 1986. But you're here today because God made an appointment with you. He's working in your heart. He's working in your life.
Amen.
And he knows that you need him every bit as much as those kids in India, anybody around the world. You need Jesus.
Amen.
And if today you feel in your heart Jesus speaking to you, today's the day I want to give my heart to Jesus. Today's the day I want to invite him in and give my life to him.
Amen.
Then I want to give you that opportunity to do that right now. If you could just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. Is there anyone here today who would like to say, Rick, today I want to make that decision. I want to give Jesus my heart. If that's your decision, I would like you just to look up at me, raise your hand so I can see you looking at me. I'm not going to call you out or make a spectacle of you. I just want to agree together with you that today's the day you're making that
Amen.
Decision to
yes.
give your life to Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord. Thank you,
anybody
Jesus.
Here today making that decision, just
Amen.
Raise your hand, wave at me so I can see you making that decision. All right, I see you.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else today making that decision?
Amen, Jesus.
Would you all please pray this prayer together, out loud and together? Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for loving me so much.
Thank you for loving me so much.
That you came to this earth.
You came to this earth.
To show me who God is.
Show me who God is.
You died on a cross to pay for my sins.
You died on the cross to pay for my sins.
You rose from the dead.
You rose from the dead.
To show me.
To show me.
That I can have everlasting life.
I have everlasting life.
So I give you my life.
Come into my heart.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me eternal life.
Amen.
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 Amen.